the first week that the videos were really too long to try to play ahead of time. So, if you want to know the video that goes with the message, you can show up today at 10:20 up in the Keith Room, and we will be discussing it, and we'll see the video. Or you can come tonight at, what time is yours, Tom?
5:30.
There it is, thank you. 5:30, or Thursday night at 5:30. We have three options for that. Okay, so week number one was, realize that God means for you to be right where you are. Number two was, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. This series is based on Exodus 14, the Exodus of the Israelite people. Today's message comes from verses 4 through 9. Hear this. When the king of Egypt was told that the Israelites had left, he and his officers changed their minds about them. They said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites leave. We have lost our slaves." So the king prepared his war chariot and took his army with him. He took 600 of his best chariots, together with all the other chariots of Egypt, each with an officer in it. The Lord made the king of Egypt stubborn. So he chased the Israelites, who were leaving victoriously. The Egyptians, with all the king's horses, chariot drivers, and army, chased the Israelites. They caught up with them while they were camped by the Red Sea, near Pi Hahiroth and Baal Zephon. Wow. Tough place to be. Charles Spurgeon was a great Baptist preacher of the 19th century. He once said this, "The great tyrant has not forgotten you and designs your capture and your re-enslavement." Those are thinking words. The Israelite children would have understood this, and they would have agreed with it. I think so would someone who was overcome an addiction, only to be tempted by the media, by friends, by family, by strangers, to fall right back into that addiction again. You know, at times Satan is obvious. Serial killer, pretty obviously Satan, right? An abusive spouse or parent, possibly. A parent, teacher, or friend who repeatedly tells you that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not worth their time, and tries to beat you down and down and down farther. Is it possible that Satan is looking through that person? Don't know, but usually the great deceiver is more sinister, he's more sly, more sneaky. In Genesis 3, Satan is a serpent who's trying to deceive Adam and Eve. Remember him? In Matthew 13, he is a bird out to destroy God's harvest. In John 10, Jesus sees Satan as a wolf who is attacking God's flock. In 1 Peter, he is a lion who is bent on devouring God's children. And in Revelation 12, Satan is a dragon who wants to destroy God's Son. In Ephesians 6:11, Paul warns against the craftiness of the devil. He says, like Beth told the children, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks." Now you know what the armor is. You know, when Satan attacks, he often takes it completely off guard. You notice that? Russia, in the 70s, we finally found that we could communicate with each other in a sense of peacefulness and be allies. And here we are once again in 2017, worried that we're not going to be friends and it could lead to war. The United States has a history. We have a history in this country of being an example to other countries in how to conduct a peaceful election. How to accept the outcome regardless of whether it's something we like or not. Yet here we are, marching, rioting, breaking friendships over who was elected and who wasn't. Who do you think is at the bottom of all this? I don't think it's Donald Trump, by the way. If Satan is at the bottom of our civil strife, the question is, what can we do to send a package? I think it needs to be a grassroots movement. And I think in some places it's already started. I think it needs to start with the church. It needs to start with Christians. Because we've got the basics. They are there. Satan may be trying to rip them apart. Maybe trying to cause us to question our belief system and that God's presence in the world and God's goodness. But it's there if you just look for it. Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God will be strong and will resist him being the devil. James 4:7-8. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How easy is this? Resist Satan and just pull God close. And God isn't going to leave you. He will protect you. In Ephesians 6:13, we learn that we must use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So that after the battle, we can stand strong and firm in our faith. Robert Morgan, who is the author of the Red Sea Rules, said this: when we rebuff the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, when we stand our ground, when we resist his wiles and claim the victory of faith, when we shake off discouragement in the name of our Lord, Satan falls from heaven faster than lightning. He is drowned in the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Think of it this way. Every time you resist temptation, you are honoring God. Every time you are honoring God. Every time you choose to trust Jesus for the outcome, God will be glorified in your life. And if God is glorified in your life, it's going to be good for you. Whenever you choose, character over convenience, faithfulness over the easy way, or honesty over deceit. Every time you make the right choices, God's choices, you're going to find yourself living peacefully in God's presence. Every time. Don't believe me? Try. And when you're living faithfully in God's abiding presence, no Trinity will say you're going to set it up. As long as you're living close to God, Satan cannot know that you're here. He won't get a hold. When we stay close to Christ, when we keep ourselves under the protective cloud of his grace, remember the Israelites? The cloud went with them everywhere through the Red Sea and beyond to remind them of God's presence. When we stay close to Christ and we keep ourselves under the protective cloud of his grace, Satan cannot get a foothold in our lives. The Pharaoh could threaten with 1,000 chariots and thousands of warriors and thousands more swords. But he had no power to harm the Israelites as long as they remained under the protective cloud of God's presence. He had no power because they had this wonderful invisible shield of God around them. We have the same thing, and we need to keep it close if we're going to help our country to come back together again in peace, to live together as good, God-fearing people, which is the way this country was founded. Acknowledge Kate Satan, but keep your eyes on the Lord, and the Lord will guide your feet to safe ground, just like he did the Israelites. He will make a way. That's what God does. Next week, Red Sea Rule number 4 should be an easy one. while the people were in trouble. Almighty God, we know that your power is so much stronger than Satan's, but for some reason, Satan tends to lure us in, letting us think that it's better with him, easier. Lord, you know better. Help us to remember. Help us to remember always that as long as we keep you right by our side, right in our hearts and our heads, in our lives, Satan will have no say. This I ask in Jesus' name.